your agency's funding bill may be among the spending vehicles that appear to be stalling out in Congress. The Senate's effort to get a couple of bills through in a package has hit a roadblock. David Hawkins is senior editor at Roll Call and host of the Hawkins Here blog at rollcall.com. He is following the stops and starts of the agency budget process. And David, you've been warning us for a while that this was how this was going to work, but I don't think anybody saw this fight over amendments coming down the pike, did we?
No, it didn't happen quite as quickly or emphatically as it did, but the minibus now has four flat tires.
That's real. That's a great way to look at it. I mean, it's not amusing that it's happening, but it's amusing to think about it in that context, because these bills that it appeared to be headed toward, you know, fairly easy passage, the Congress has proved once again that it can snatch defeat from the jaws of victory.
That's true, and it's proved once again that it never tires of having the same old fight over and over again. In this case, the fight was in the Senate between the Republican leader, Mitch McConnell, who said, we're willing and even eager to debate these bills, but we want to have full and free amendment on anything that's germane. And Senator Reid, who said, sure, you can do that, but only under my terms of what's germane and what is passage of an amendment. In the end, they came down to fighting about, Reid said, you can have any amendment you want, Mitch McConnell, if you can get 60 votes for it. And that didn't suit Mitch McConnell well, because he had some amendments that he thought he could win, but not with 60 votes.
So what this comes down to from the outside looking in is, here we go again with the Washington inside Capitol Hill stuff that doesn't seem to mean a whole lot to anybody else except the not even everybody in the Senate, it doesn't appear. There's a handful of people that really care about this stuff, and everybody else from the outside looking in looks at it and goes, this is just these people being incorrigible again.
Sadly, that is kind of the way it is. The number of people in the Senate and in the House, for that matter, who are committed to trying to sort of bend past practices to get back to some kind of semblance of regularity, predictability, normalcy in the budget process. The numbers of those people, who are led, of course, by Barbara Mikulski of Maryland, the new chairwoman of Senate Appropriations, and by Hal Rogers, the Kentucky Republican, who is in the middle of his term as the House Appropriations Chairman. Those two are trying hard, but larger forces, political forces, continue to prevail. One important political force that's worth throwing out there is that with each passing week of delay, the Republicans have less and less of an interest in keeping the trains running on time, because they are betting that come November 6th, they will certainly keep their majority in the House, will almost certainly gain strength in the Senate, if not take over the Senate. And if they take over the Senate, their view is we can just wait till January and reopen all these negotiations on our terms.
So the potential consequence of that, though, is we could be coming down to September with a bunch of CRs again, as we have for the last 918 years in a row, and wind up maybe not with the level of uncertainty that we experienced with the shutdown, but we can certainly have some of the same consequences, which is agencies are sitting here October 1st going, well, we don't have anything new, we can't do anything new.
That's right. For the public, for the people all around the country who have nothing to do with the federal government, there is no suspense or worry here. Neither side has any interest in playing shutdown, showdown, gamesmanship 1 month before the election. So the government's not going to shut down. I'm certain of that, as I have about, you know, that I'm wearing, you know, a bow tie today. In terms of giving any of these agencies certainty by October 1st, I think that's looking less and less likely. The last time you and I talked about this, I was predicting maybe 3 or 4 of the 12 bills had a chance to become law by October 1st. Now it's looking like probably zero. The House is not doing any appropriations bills on the floor this week. That's the first time in about 5 weeks they haven't had one on the floor. So the House's prediction that they'd get all these bills passed by the end of July looks virtually impossible. The Senate's not doing any appropriations work either this week. They're taking a break on the three-bill minibus that stalled out last week. They're going to try and work on it behind the scenes. But it looks like Ms. Mikulski won't even be able to get all of her 12 bills out of committee by the summer, as she'd originally promised. She now is talking about what she calls the four ugly stepsisters, which are the financial services bill, the energy and water bill, the interior environment bill, and the labor HHS education bill.
That's great. That makes all those agencies feel really good.
Yeah, that's right.
That's very nicely done, Senator Mikulski, because I'm sure none of the people that work at those agencies live in Maryland.
No, and she's not denigrating the good people.
No, I know. I know.
Because I don't want her to call and holler at me. But
nobody wants that.
But what she's doing, and probably most of the people who have any awareness at these agencies of the budget politics, know that these are the four hardest bills to pass. They're the most subject to amendment. You know, I mean, the interior environment one, just to think of one, is whenever it comes up, is going to be the sticker for the mother of all amendments, which is what Mitch McConnell has waged a large part of his reelection campaign on, which is trying to stop the EPA from spending any money to carry out these new coal-fired power plant regulations that he thinks are going to be the economic death knell to his state, and which are for President Obama the best thing he has to a lasting environmental legacy.
David Hawkins of Roll Call is my guest. You alluded to something that was the area I wanted to go to next, and that is, just because this business seems to be shutting down on the floor right now, David, doesn't mean nothing's happening. I look at the agenda for this week, and I see the Appropriations Committee, a subcommittee with jurisdiction over DHS, is going to mark that bill up. The Senate Appropriations Subcommittee that has jurisdiction over financial services is going to mark that one up. So there, it's not like everything is grinding to a complete halt, as it seems to have done several times over the last couple of years vis-a-vis the budget process.
True enough, and that's a fair point to make. And, you know, once again, I've got to take off my my hat, which tries to see the macro picture, which is that the macro are slowing down, and look at it from the other way, which is important, which is that each time one of these bills gets marked up in a subcommittee or gets through a committee, that's pretty important in terms of giving these agencies and these program directors and, you know, the people who actually run the government a level of certainty, because, you know, unless they're working on one of the real hot button measures of the year, and if they're working on one of those, they almost certainly have known it since the day they got the job. You know, if they're just working on a regular sort of off behind the scenes piece of the government, once that program gets through subcommittee, even, or and certainly full committee, they know what they're looking at.
I thought you were going to say each time a bill gets through committee, an angel gets its wings, and then I was just going to ban you from the show for eternity, because I just wouldn't be able to handle that.
We can't have angels getting their wings and ugly stepsisters in the same show.
It just creates a really uncomfortable picture. Thank you as always, my friend.
Thanks a lot, Francis.